Good evening, everybody, and welcome back to the Stone Age Gamer Podcast. My name is Chris, I am your host, and today we have Dan.
Good evening.
Dean. Tiff.
You gotta stop putting me after him, I don't know how to follow that.
And our special guest, Jay Payne herself, Jess.
Greetings!
That was enthusiastic. Well done, Jess. Enthusiastic.
And slightly Kermit the Frog.
It was good, though.
Thank you.
It was good.
I practiced.
Did you?
I did.
It was lackluster.
Well, this is episode 33 of the Stone Age Gamer Podcast, and today we are going to be focusing on our guilty pleasure games, the games that we choose to love despite the fact that they may or may not be objectively terrible.
Or embarrassing.
Yeah, mine is more embarrassing than terrible.
It's Mary-Kate and Ashley's Sweet 16, isn't it?
That was a great game.
It was actually Barbie's Fashion Police, but...
Not Barbie's Horse Adventure?
No, that game was shit. The animations on the horse were all wonky.
I'm feeling uncomfortable.
He's your husband.
That's why I'm uncomfortable.
It looked like the horse was goose-stepping, and that's just inappropriate.
Okay, we have been on the podcast for less than 5 minutes.
Barbie's Horse Nazi Adventures.
Barbie's Horse Nazi Adventures. Oh, God damn it.
What was that one about the horse in, like, Germany or whatever? The war horse? Was it called War Horse? Is that what it was called?
You know, there was, like, a war and a horse.
In a Barbie game? I'm lost already.
Barbie War Horse.
Barbie War Horse.
See, I remember the Barbie horse game, and I do not remember any war there.
I don't remember any Nazis.
It was an expansion pack to one of the Call of Duty games.
You broke Jesse.
Oh, God. All right, well, getting back on track, speaking of embarrassing, so yeah, we're going to discuss our guilty pleasure games, a few of us will go, we'll take a break, we'll come back, it'll all be wonderful and happy, and I think that we should start this week with, let's let our esteemed guest go first.
Excellent.
Jess, what is your guilty pleasure game?
Okay, so, Dean is going to judge me so much, but... my guilty pleasure game is literally any Harvest Moon game. They're my soul. They make me happier than anything can in this world.
She's looking at me just for my look of disapproval, and I'm like, this is a podcast. You say what you want.
Are you going to hit her?
No matter what, it's like the same thing every time. You're a farmer. You have to like get them, raise your farm up to glory and whatever. You marry someone. You play as a boy or a girl. You raise some cattle and whatever, but it's always different no matter what, and I love it so much, and it is just so relaxing because it's just, I don't know, life on the farm just seems better than life here.
Life on the farm in a video game.
I promise it's not like that in real life.
The people are nicer.
They are the cleanest farms in the history of anything. Every single one of those farms is perfectly tended. There's even the dirt is clean on Harvest Moon Farms. It's ridiculous.
It's great. I mean, like,
yeah. Please don't leave the city and move to the country based on that, because I think you'll be disappointed.
I know. I mean, there's not any real challenge, really, to the game, so it's not too bad. Only Save the Homeland, there was a challenge because you had a time limit. You had to like do whatever you had to do within a year. But everything else is just, it's nice. I don't know.
I've never played a Harvest Moon game.
Are you kidding me? You should go do it.
No, I really should. I'm going to go get one now. But
I'm very happy.
In fact, somebody else is going to have to fill in for me on the podcast because I'm leaving in a minute. But that cow, like that's on all the box art, is the cutest goddamn cow.
Oh, I know. And you get to brush it?
Oh, do you?
Yes.
Wait, okay. Now you're talking. Keep going. Yeah. Tell me more.
And in the newer games, you can like snuggle it, kind of like you snuggle your head onto it.
You can nuzzle a cow?
Yes.
Why the fuck
virtual
haven't I played
cow
this?
Nuzzling.
Virtual cow nuzzling.
You have to do it every day to get its hearts up.
No, of course you do. Why wouldn't you? You could go nuzzle a cow. God damn it, that sounds wonderful.
Okay, the way you're saying nuzzle a cow is kind of creepy.
Sure.
From, I don't even remember when it started, but I mean, this was a long time ago, back when I was still working at Funko Land. When Harvest Moon Games came out, there was always pre-order bonuses of stuffed animal versions of the animals in that game, and I have a stuffed one of those cows somewhere in my collection. It's adorable.
Do you nuzzle it?
I mean, I did.
You should do it more often.
When the time was right for nuzzling.
Before I put it away in storage.
Well, you put them in storage.
I think what you mean to say... I think what you mean to say is that you used to have one of those cows in your collection before you gave it to your friend Dan. Because
that's what I heard. Yeah.
I think I need to have this cow in my life now. I'm going to name it Melissa for a nice Bob's Burgers reference too.
That's fantastic.
I love it.
If I can find the cow, I may have already given it to my sister years ago. But if I still have it, I will make sure that it is yours, Dan.
Yes. Cow nuzzling. I'm so excited.
I'm still kind of creeped out.
You need to get the golden milk. In order to get the golden milk, you need to nuzzle.
The what?
That does not sound appetizing.
That's not milk, honey, and that's the wrong thing to be pulling on.
But you make so much gold off of it. Like, you make so much money with the golden milk.
Wow.
It's like the Skinamax version of Harvest Moon.
I was going to say, I'm sure someone out there will pay a lot for a golden milk shower.
Oh my god. Oh.
You know, I thought a golden milk shower reference would be too far.
No, we did it. It's done. It happened. You didn't have to do it this time, Dan. I took the burden on my back.
I appreciate it, Dean. You're a good man. Thank you.
I'm disgusted.
I, for one, sir, am appalled.
Well, all right. So, Harvest Moon, I don't know if that's necessarily something to be too guilty about. Harvest Moon's got a pretty big cult following, and it's not like it's a full-on dating
sim. Oh, I am proudly, actually, pleasured by it. I don't know.
Oh, my God!
Did I take it too far? I may have. But
did you hear what you just said?
I did hear what I just said.
Pleasured.
I am proudly pleasured by Harvest Moon.
Okay. Mm. All right.
I'm trying to think of what other thing would I really be guilty about. I'm not guilty about any of my game choices. That might be why.
You're angry about
them. I'm proud of them, usually.
Good for you, Jess.
Well, you're really angry about some of them.
I get very angry about most of them. But...
Okay, Harvest Moon. That's a good choice. For you.
Thank you.
And I
Thank
say,
you.
Continue to wear that one with pride. Okay, Dan.
I
want
to go. Nope, he doesn't want to go.
Tiff wants to go, apparently.
Tiff really wants to go?
Go ahead, honey.
Mine is somewhat similar in that it is a very popular game, but I'm still very embarrassed by it. As somebody who regularly contributes to a video game podcast, I feel that I should not have spent more hours on this game than any other game probably combined over the last year, and I speak of the illustrious Candy Crush.
Oh, yeah.
Candy Crush.
I'm going to go to bat for Candy Crush, and I'm going to defend it, because I am between the regular Candy Crush and the nighttime levels and the new soda. I am 536 levels in.
Wow.
And it's pretty impressive to me that after 536 levels that I am even remotely interested in picking this thing up ever again. And yet I do it a lot.
I mean, it's that same puzzle game that's just been repackaged, and they made a really good version of it.
They made a really good version.
Candy themed. I mean, I played the shit out of Candy Crush for a little while, and then I hit a wall where it was just like, well, now you need to get your friends to play, or you can't get past this wall, or you have to pay us a bunch of dollars. And I was just like, I don't like this game enough to pay anything for it. So,
well, see, but that's kind of the good thing about Candy Crush versus some of the other ones that are like this, is that you never do have to pay for something. Even when you get to the parts where there's like, to get to the different levels and things like that, there are ways around all of it. You never actually have to pay for something. And I have several, like, gym swap type games that I've played where there is no choice. If you want to go on, you have to purchase something.
Yeah, it's and, just, you there is always a way around it. It's just...
Right, it can be aggravating. And right, and there have been times that I've gotten stuck and was frustrated and the level just seems stupid and I've put it down for a month and then for whatever reason the next time I pick it up I beat that frustrating level first try and it's the most wonderful thing that ever happened to me again. And I do dabble in other games like this. I have kind of a few that go in my rotation, but none of them ever stick around. But I've had Candy Crush from the beginning and I would imagine it's going to outlast them all, because after 536 levels of this, it still finds ways to be entertaining. There's one of them, I just reached a certain level on the soda thing where the drop of the candy completely changed directions and now it goes in a spiral instead of going up or down. And it's like completely changed the dynamic of the game now. And I find it way more entertaining than I should.
You know, any game that makes me actively hate chocolate, because seriously, chocolate in that game is a dick. Any game that makes me actively hate chocolate, I already have a point against, because God fuck the chocolate in that game. And why isn't chocolate in real life self-replicating? Huh? It pisses me off on a double level. First off, it's stopping me from beating the level in the games, and then it makes me angry that I can't stress eat infinitely replenishing chocolate.
You should try the new soda one, because it's soda and gummy bears, and...
Oh, yeah, I'm not particularly fond of either of those things.
We'll see, so you can't get angry at them.
That is a fair point.
And the gummy bears are really cute.
The other thing that really made me angry about Candy Crush is... Well, I mean, the character... like the dude character that's in that suit. I don't know if you guys know the old Sam Keith comic, The Max, but he reminds me of Mr. Gone. Like, that's
Well, there's something I'm not going to be able to unsee.
It's totally Mr. Gone.
Yeah, no, it is.
He's going to murder people. It's awful. That character is a creepy redheaded version of Mr. Gone. I'm sure it's just him in disguise and he's up to something nefarious. The end of that game, if there ever is one, is going to be him murdering everything.
Him and the Iz just destroying things in the outback.
Exactly. There's totally going to be Iz showing up. Like, I bet half the candy is just Iz in disguise. It's just,
oh my god.
Ugh.
Now I want to play this game some more to destroy the Iz. Evil little fuckers.
The other part of this that makes me so mad is what is it, King Company? That
Yeah.
The fact that those fucktards tried to copyright the word candy.
What?
What a bunch of assholes. Like, no, we're gonna own the word candy. Because we made Candy Crush, and we can own the word candy. And they're selling, like, Candy Crush brand candy, and it's just, like, regular cheap shit bullshit candy, but it says Candy Crush on it now. It's like, fuck you guys. Fuck you so hard. It's like the idiots that make Angry Birds, and they're like, these are enduring characters. They're gonna outlast everything. Like, fuck no, they're not. Nobody gives a shit about an Angry Birds movie. Nobody gives a shit about an Angry Birds comic. Nobody plays Angry Birds for a fucking
I know lots of 8 to 12-year-olds that would strongly disagree with you.
Yes.
I know a guy next to me that would strongly disagree with you.
Well, yeah, I mean, the King Corporation, certainly has gotten up to some pretty scumbaggy tactics and just some things where it's like, all right, I suppose that you could, but I don't necessarily know that you should be such a fucking asshole about this, because you're already, I mean, like, make no mistake, these guys are making billions, literally billions of dollars off of this fucking game. I mean, because it's one of those things where it's like, well, I need this little bonus life, or I need five more moves. It's only a buck. Whatever. I'll spend the buck. And when you get a couple hundred thousand people spending a couple bucks, all of a sudden you're fucking raking in the money. You know?
Yeah, no, it's genius. No question
it's
about it.
Absolutely brilliant.
Stop saying fuck.
But they didn't have to be such assholes about it.
So it made me feel bad about liking my game.
Wasn't that the whole purpose? Don't you?
Yeah, that's the point.
No, I was supposed to be embarrassed about liking my game.
You are embarrassed.
Yeah, I didn't.
I feel like Sarah McLachlan is going to walk in a minute with a kid with flies on it and like a bedraggled puppy.
You're supposed to feel terrible about liking your game.
I had no idea I was supposed to feel terrible about my game.
Well, now you know, and I hope you feel terrible.
Nah, you're not. You don't have to feel bad about liking Candy Crush, because I dig Candy Crush. It's a fun game. It's a great version of that kind of gem swapping game. It really is. It makes really good use of sound effects too. Like,
I love the sound.
That silly ass, like, crazy bassy voice is just like sweet. That's just
it.
Great.
And when you beat a level in the soda one, it says "Soda-licious."
That's great.
And it makes me really happy.
But you're right. That's totally a guilty pleasure type game, because it's just so simple, and but at the same time, it's very fun, and but it is innately evil.
Isn't
anything good innately evil?
No,
I guess.
Shh.
But let me just say, on air one more time, fuck Angry Birds. Fuck Angry Birds so hard. I don't mind that game as a game, but as a multimedia property, fuck Angry Birds. And fuck that whole company.
Those birds are very charming.
Yeah, but Chris, Angry Bird Transformers.
Oh, the Transformers one is so good.
It's good.
Let's combine Angry Birds and Bayformers and see if I can ever
stop
throwing.
No, it's original Transformers, and it's so good.
G1, motherfucker.
The intro movie is the G1 intro.
It's
so...
It's like shot for shot.
It's charming and endearing.
Not for Chris. He's a grump.
Chris, you are a grump.
Launching pigs. Launching little bird balls at pigs. It's very adorable. We're going to take boom blocks, and we're just going to just change it around and make it birds. And all of a sudden,
there it is. There it is. It came out.
What came out?
Your butt hurt because boom blocks isn't
around anymore. Boom blocks didn't do well. Angry Birds ripped. All right, I see what. No, we're going to stop here.
Just as an aside, cute story, when my girls were 3, my mom decided it was high time for them to have a piggy bank. So she brought me to the store to show me the piggy bank she had picked out, which were Angry Bird shaped piggy banks. Glass Angry Bird shaped piggy banks.
Oh,
and I said, Mother,
broke them.
If you That's give
the
these piggy
idea
banks
I've
ever to heard. My 3-year-old children, they are going to throw them at you and be really excited to do so. Please don't do that.
I don't know. I've played a lot of Angry Birds. I think the game is really fun. I think the level layout is really clever. There's just something about that once it took on that persona where they said, oh, these are going to be an endearing characters. These are going to be the next Mickey Mouse. These are just going to be this great thing that's going to last forever and ever and ever. I was like, way to get too big for yourselves. It was like when James Cameron came out about Avatar and saying that movies will never be the same. And I was like, fuck you, James Cameron. Movies are still movies. You didn't change movies. You made Avatar, which is the same goddamn movie we've seen a bunch of other times. Just because you use some fancy schmancy 3D effects doesn't mean movies will never be the same. I fucking hate it when people get so goddamn big for their bridges where they're just like, I'm going to change everything forever. Everything. Just makes me so goddamn mad. Like, Angry Birds is Angry Birds, so let it be Angry Birds. Let it be a fun little cell phone game. It doesn't have to be this multimedia mogul. Makes
Chris.
Me want to
Chris,
up.
I am 100% on your
come
side.
Come back down.
Fuck Avatar. That movie sucks.
Okay, where are we going?
No, this is Chris. What the rest of the podcast is. Fuck Avatar.
Podcast
a bunch of
fist bump,
shit.
Dan.
And while we're at it, True Detective was a terrible TV show.
Yes. Yes, it was. Listen, Stone Age gamer listeners.
You don't have to like things just because big business tells you to.
That's right, unless it's Candy Crush, because then you have to.
Yeah, then Candy Crush is pretty good, actually.
All right, so Candy Crush.
It's a great game. Yeah. I'm happy to be a part of it.
Well, that's a good guilty pleasure. I'll take it. So let's see who's left. Well, we did ladies first, so it's just me, Dean, and Dan left over. And I think we should do that after the break, because this seems like a good time to take a quick break and get ourselves a snack. So stick around for a few moments, and we'll be back with the rest of our guilty pleasures. We'll be right back. And we're back. And we have returned from another eventful break. Let's jump right back into things and keep discussing our guilty pleasure games. And let's start with Dean.
Okay, firstly, Chris, fuck you. Secondly, my game is Angry Birds.
There it is.
Rovio for life, bitches.
aren't they like a Norwegian company?
Swedish.
I don't think they're that aggressive, Dean.
They're from Sweden.
Why can't I rep them in the U.S. as an aggressive fucking Swedish company? Why can't they just wear do-rags to work every day and fucking be hardcore about it?
Fucking birds wear do-rags.
Do they wear what? Where have I been?
It's the Angry Birds Scared Straight Edition.
The Angry Birds Angry Edition?
I mean, anyway, the big reason why this is a guilty pleasure for me, even though I guess most people wouldn't really consider it that, is that I consider myself like a very hardcore gamer.
A snob.
And, yeah, a snob. Thank you.
That's a good word.
Fellow snob. Jerk. And I have this problem where, like, if an iOS game comes out, I normally won't play it because it's normally just too casual. I can't get into it or anything. So, I'll pick it up for like a day and I'll put it down. With Angry Birds, it was one of those things where I would just sit there, like, drooling on my bed, pulling back the slingshot, letting it go, trying to get 3 stars for, like, hours at a time. And one day I caught myself doing this, and I was like, oh, my God. I really like this game. I really like Angry Birds. There's something wrong with me. I retire from gaming. This is bad. And it was just, I guess that's why I consider it a guilty pleasure, because I'm not one to normally play a casual game like that. And, yeah, just it kind of caught me by surprise, and I'm not proud of it. I'm not proud of it at all. It's my black smudge on my otherwise glistening resume of video games I've played.
I don't consider it a black smudge. I think that Angry Birds is a fine game.
No, it's a golden smudge.
No, man, like, I'm with you. The first, I don't know, 3 or 4... Angry Birds games. I mean, we played.
Well, there was Angry Birds, and then Seasons, and then Rio, and then Transformers. Oh, then Star Wars and Space.
Space, then Star Wars, then Star Wars 2, then Transformers.
Why isn't there an Aliens one? I want an Aliens Angry Birds.
I would totally flick birds at Xenomorphs. That would be an excellent game.
Right? Just flick the Marines at all the Xenomorphs. That'd be awesome. And then if you fuck up, the aliens like puncture a hole in the Marine's head. Is that too dark for an Angry Birds game?
It might be.
I think so, yes.
But like the thing that they got so right with Angry Birds, and what made it so goddamn addictive, is that you can see as you were slingshotting the birds exactly where you fucked up every time. Like, you can see exactly how you did it wrong. And you just like, all right, just one more. It's one of those games where it's just one more level. Just one more. Just one more level. And then 2 hours later, you're like, I've been playing this stupid game. I have no battery life on my phone. I don't know where my charger is. Now no one can text me because I've been killing piggies all night. I mean, it's...
You don't kill the piggies so much as demoralize them.
Oh, you kill them.
No, you do. You smush them with, like, concrete slabs.
Do they bounce-ish?
Mm.
Do you guys ever play the game Scorched Earth?
Isn't that the like, Clan Wars type game?
I don't know what Clan Wars is.
You made up Clan Wars, Dean. It's not a real game.
What's it called?
No.
No,
it's a real game.
There's a real game called Clan Wars. It's for the iOS.
Frank
it's a,
played it. That's why
I know it. It's C-L-A-N-W-A-R-S.
Assholes. Not Clash of Clans?
Clash of Clans.
Yeah, thank you.
There you go. Yeah, because it's not fucking called Clan Wars.
It's called Clan Wars.
Christ almighty, nobody else thinks that's a good idea, Dean.
Anyway, Scorched Earth was this game. It was an old DOS game, and I loved the crap out of this game. And you were these little tiny tanks, and you would have to just aim an angle of where you would shoot, and then you put, charge up the shot, and then shoot it, and it would fly and blow up the other tanks. And
like Worms?
Actually, really similar to Worms, and that was one of the things that really attracted me to Angry Birds, because while I don't like the world that they've attempted to build, this insanely artificial world that they've built around Angry Birds, the core of Angry Birds is a cool game. It was a good idea. Like, am I pissed that Boom Blocks wasn't very successful? Of course. But taking that concept and making it 2D was cool. And it reminded me a lot of Scorched Earth, but with more of a... Scorched Earth was very competitive, whereas Angry Birds is just like, let's knock all this shit down. And I think that's what initially drew me to Angry Birds, because I played the crap out of that game for a good long while, and the core gameplay of Angry Birds I think is really cool, and it's my only gripe with Angry Birds is the too big for its britches nature that they wanted to turn Angry Birds into this multimedia empire instead of just being happy that they made a cool game and just keep making cool games. Angry Birds, the Rovio was like, Angry Birds is going to be relevant and popular 50 years from now. And I'm not going to say that I'm always right about this stuff. I'm frequently wrong about it. But this is the type of property that, when I look at these characters that they designed, it looks like all of this extra personality has been forcefully shoved into them. Like, it was this simple concept, and here's these character designs, and here's this thing that we have, and it's cool. And then somebody was just like, I want all of the money. How do we make this into... Wait, we have this one successful thing. Let's piggyback it onto every conceivable thing we can. And they just... I'm picturing, like, just shoving personality and different options into all these different characters, just shoehorning it as hard as they can, and blood and bird guts flying everywhere, just like, no, be successful, be successful, be something you're not, do it, do it, do it. And they forced it so goddamn hard, and because they had so much money, because so many people bought the games that this was all based on, they managed to fabricate this success with this very, very forced personality. And even if it did at this point, which I'm blissfully ignorant of what the actual content of this crap is, because I've ignored it, much like I did Pokemon, but even if it did turn into something quality, it still just makes my skin crawl seeing a concept like that just completely shoehorned into something that it never struck me as what it was intended to be.
I think the thing, and where I would disagree with you, Chris, on just not based on quality or anything like that, but one of the reasons that I don't think Angry Birds is going to go away necessarily is, and I may be wrong on this, because I didn't get an iPhone right away, and I know the App Store wasn't really a thing right away, and whatever, we're not really getting into the history of the iPhone here. But if I'm not mistaken here, Angry Birds was the first really successful game on the iPhone. Like, the first game everybody was like, yeah, everybody plays Angry Birds. Much the same way that, like, something like Farmville was very successful on Facebook. You know what I mean? Like, that was the first thing where, like, everybody knew what this was. So things like that tend to have a staying power, because in the culture that we live in now, things become almost instantly nostalgic, right? And because there's a new iteration of the iPhone every time, and we move so quickly, it's like, yeah, but Angry Birds is still around, and I loved Angry Birds when I was a kid 3 years ago, and I'm not a kid anymore, but I can still play Angry Birds, you know what I mean? Like, there's just this kind of force behind this particular property where I would disagree. I don't think this is one of the ones that is going to go away. I don't know. And like I said, maybe I'm wrong, but I mean, that would be, I don't see Angry Birds going away. There have been so many other downloadable, like, mobile casual games that have come and gone since Angry Birds.
Flappy Bird.
Yeah, Flappy Bird was the biggest thing in the world. That dude made a bajillion dollars in a minute. And nobody is ever going to fucking play Flappy Bird again. Nobody cares.
I played it 2 days ago.
See, nobody but Jess is going to play Flappy Bird again, because nobody but Jess cares. But Angry Birds is still around and is still a viable franchise.
And you're right. It is still around and it is still a viable franchise. It's just...
It just makes you mad.
It makes me mad. I don't like it. So, Angry Birds. We all know how we feel about it now. And I guess our philosophical discussions on the on the inner workings of Angry Birds will be saved for another time. All right, let's see. Dan, I think you should go next because I'm really curious as to what your game is.
Well, yeah, like I spent a large.
You're gonna be mad.
Yeah. Well, no, it's not that you're gonna be mad because it's a game that I know that you love because you and I have actually played it together and shared information. But see, like for me, the reason that this game is a guilty pleasure is because I like to think that I project this image of being somewhat tough and intimidating when you meet me in person. And I'm really not. I like to think that I am. Like, I listen to hardcore, you know, death metal and, you know, angry punk rock. And I was a very angry teenager and like, whatever, you know, and like, I like metal things and God damn it. But I like to think, and I know it's not true. Like, I'm a goofy son of a bitch, and I get all that, but it's what makes this game such a guilty pleasure for me, because I spent a large portion of my time in college, while my roommates were out playing other video games, in my bedroom, fucking playing Animal Crossing.
Yes! 'Cause,
God damn it! Like...
I'm so happy.
Like, dude, did you get the new Madden? I'm like, no, but I got new flooring for my house and I paid it off. I'm so excited.
I paid off Tom Nook.
So happy.
I paid off Tom Nook and I got a fucking expand. I got a second floor, dude. I got a second floor. Now I'm going to go out and get matching furniture from shitty rooms. Like, I spent so much goddamn time with that game. And like, Chris, you want to come over to my college apartment and bring your memory card so I can come visit your town? What a douchebag conversation that was for two, at that point, relatively grown-ass men to have.
Oh, God, I'm so with you on that one. I mean, look, I'm not ashamed to admit I love Animal Crossing, but I'm embarrassed at the amount of time I spent on
it. Yeah, I'm not ashamed about it because I don't care. Like, I'm in my 30s now. I don't care. I play video games that I don't care about what I like. But I am kind of embarrassed at the amount of time that I spent trying to collect matching sets of furniture.
Especially considering how much time you've not spent building our radiator covers and painting our walls in our house.
Yeah, in my real life. Like, now I haven't played Animal Crossing. The only Animal Crossing I ever played was the one for GameCube. I didn't play any of the other ones. Because I know what type of personality I have, and I know the amount of time that I spent with that game, and I was also really kind of pissed that they took out the emulated Nintendo games. I thought that was such a cool part of the original Animal Crossing.
That was awesome.
It was so cool to walk into your room. Fuck it, that really sounds like that's a ridiculous thing to say, but it was so cool to like walk into the house you had in the game and be like, I'm gonna play Excitebike. Or I'm going to play Punch-Out, or Balloon Fight, or whatever else there was. You know, like, there was a couple games you could only get with the e-reader, and, you know, or I'm just going to go down to KK Sliders and listen to some tunes. You know what I mean? Like, there's just this ridiculous...
Was that Wednesday nights, or was that Saturday nights?
I think it was Saturday nights.
It was Saturday nights, yeah. You could go...
It was Wednesday.
That classy motherfucker.
Can I just say that I never played Animal Crossing, and all of you sound like giant losers. All
right, well, get the fuck off the podcast then.
God,
you haven't
need to play
lived
Animal Crossing.
Until you lived with animals.
It's
true.
The game,
wait,
like,
what?
It's such a goddamn cute game.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of those, like, you know, I played other games while that came out, but that was just one of those games that was, it was so easy to put it on and spend time doing a bunch of menial nonsense that didn't really, I mean, there's really no point to the game. There's no end to this game. You could fire up a GameCube now and go in and have a shit ton of weeding to do because you haven't played it in a long time.
Rossetti's gonna be
No, you can get the ghost to help you.
You could do that, but like, you know, like there was just this level of excitement of I went to a person's town and they had cherries. So now I have cherries in my town.
What was your town name?
I don't even remember. I think it was probably like
Captain Sexy Pantsville.
Mine was East Todd, and still is East Todd. I got the 3DS version, and I remade East Todd, and it's totally awesome. And the 3DS version is, like, I did the download title version of the 3DS one, because I didn't want to ever have to have it not on me. So every couple of weeks or so, I'll just turn on Animal Crossing and check in with my town.
I do too.
I don't know. I think mine was probably, like, D14 or something like that, just because that was the apartment that I lived in college, and I don't know, we just, everything we did, like, between my roommates, like, we just named everything D14 for no reason, but...
What, like, do you think your picks are up in here?
It wasn't clever or funny, it was just, I don't want to think of a name, so D14 it is, but yeah, I don't know, man, I spent a lot of time playing that game, and... had those, like, what were they called, gyroids? Mm-hmm. The weird things. Yeah, those were so weird, but I had a lot of them. I don't know what that says about me as a person.
How many years did it take you to get through college?
Just four and a half.
Yeah.
It wasn't because of Animal Crossing, though.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
I kind of feel like it might have been.
I don't know. I really liked college. It was fun. But, yeah, man, like, I would sit in my bed... like, in my bedroom with my Wave Bird and just play Animal Crossing.
Can we all agree that Wave Bird was the greatest invention for anything ever?
Yes.
It was just pretty about, good, yeah. Right?
Wave Bird's amazing.
But, like, the music in that game, and I know, like, that's always a big part for you, Chris. Like, the music in that game is so good.
It's all perfect, and there's different songs for every hour, and it's just... it's very good background music. It's very soothing. The game was very relaxing to play. And still is. I mean, really, it hasn't changed a whole lot, which is why I skipped the Wii version. Like, I played the DS version and was like, well, this is pretty much the same thing as the GameCube version. I'm glad I did all that again.
Yeah, I can't imagine there's much innovation there.
Yeah, but there was a little bit of innovation from that one, and there was another little bit of innovation to the Wii version, and then another little bit to the 3DS version. So skipping that generation and having it been that long since I had played an Animal Crossing game actually worked really well in my favor, because the 3DS one is really great, and there's a bunch of neat little things in it that make it a lot easier to like, inventory swapping is easier, the fossils don't have to be sent away to get appraised, he'll do it right on the spot, it's way
nice.
Faster. They did a really good job of streamlining the processes in the game.
What's the owl's name?
Blathier or something like that? No.
Blathers. Yeah.
Blathers. Yeah.
The paintings are harder to get. Like, because red.
Yeah, the
like,
paintings are hard to get. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do have a complete collection of fossils on the 3DS one. I was super proud when I pulled that off, and I have a lot of fish. But anyway, yeah, Animal Crossing. No, you're absolutely right. That game is a guilty pleasure because, I mean, there's a crazy community that's still around it, and they should all feel ashamed because nobody should play that game as much as they do. And I'm as guilty as anybody on it because, holy crap, Animal Crossing. It's so good, but it's just addictive. It's frightening.
It really is. It really is. All right, Christopher, my friend. I'm curious, because for you, I don't believe there is such a thing as a guilty pleasure. And I say that...
Please be Halo.
Like, yeah, Tiff and I were like, I hope it's like Halo or like Grand Theft Auto, like the new one in first person. But like with you, and I really do, I say this out of love, you love this shit so much more than anyone I've ever met. I don't know that you could ever feel guilty about
it.
So I'm really curious as to what you actually might define as a guilty pleasure.
Well, I can say that I wish I got pleasure out of Halo so that it could be my guilty pleasure. But I can't like that game. I don't know why.
Because it's not good.
Well, yeah, that's pretty much
there
it.
There goes half of our subscribers.
It's not a good game. Just because it was the only first-person shooter on the Xbox at the beginning doesn't mean it was good. Moving on.
My guilty pleasure is Journey Escape.
See, nobody knows what the hell that shit is. What is Journey Escape, Chris? Because I know Journey, and I've played Escape. I've never played the two of them together because I don't think they exist.
Journey Escape is a game based on the album Escape by Journey.
Oh my god.
That doesn't exist. How do you like it?
Let me just say, you haven't lived until you've heard Don't Stop Believin' come out of an Atari 2600.
Oh.
Do you put together game nights where you play that in Revolution X? Like back to back.
Oh God! Revolution X.
A couple people just got visions of shooting people with CDs, but that's all right.
Music is your weapon, though. Don't you get it? Music is the weapon.
Yeah, we get it, Aerosmith. No, please.
Jesus, Steven Tyler. Get another collagen injection, you asshole. All right, moving on. So Journey Escape.
You're in space.
Right.
And you play as different members of Journey.
Is this still Steve Perry Journey?
Yeah, I believe it's still let's see. I'm looking up the Wikipedia page to try to go through, because see, now I got this game when I was a kid. I didn't know what the fuck Journey was. But we got this game, and it had a thing exploding, and some sort of weird beetle-looking thing exploding out of it, and it was called Journey Escape, and it sounded all fantastical and whatnot. I didn't learn until later that Journey was a band, and they had an album called Escape that had this weird space car exploding out of a ball on it.
Not for nothing, I kind of want them to make an HD remake of it with the new lead singer.
Wait, so is it called Journey: Escape, or is it called Journey Escape?
You have to escape from Journey's colon?
No, I believe Colon Escape is a different game.
It's called When I Have Too Much Taco Bell.
Well, it's delicious. I believe it's just called Journey Escape. I don't see any colons anywhere.
That's a good thing.
Well, you're just not looking hard enough.
I'm just so uncomfortable this whole episode. I'm questioning everything about my life.
So you're members of the band Journey, and you have to do it one by one. Not that you can tell the difference, because they're all stick figures, because it's an Atari game.
Right.
Did they give luscious locks to the Steve Perry stick figure?
No. Yeah. It's just a Atari-looking stick figure. They all look like Pitfall Harry. So it's kind of like, let's see, it's kind of like Space Invaders, but instead of shooting things, you're dodging things. You have no sort of offensive capabilities. You're basically trying to run through, which appears like space, to try to catch that weird car thing that's on the cover of Escape. Mm-hmm. And in your path are all these weird obstacles, sneaky photographers and shifty-eyed promoters. I kid you not, that's what they are called. It's all like music industry-related things. And the power-ups just make you invincible for a short period of time. And the power-ups are...
PCP?
PCP.
Not the drug.
You know, I have often felt that Journey didn't get it to do and really could have emerged from the hair metal era as the greatest if only they had improved their offensive capabilities.
I agree entirely.
They didn't build enough ambient power in the catacombs.
Holy shit, that was the nerdiest sentence ever spoken.
So you're a member of Journey, and you run around trying to avoid sneaky photographers, and the power-ups are loyalies, which are these little blue robot loyal fans, and they make you invincible for a short period of time. Or the ultimate power-up is the happy manager, which is this weird happy face, and which is hysterical that you're making your manager happy is better than making your fans happy, according to this game. And
well,
it makes you just invincible
up
for a longer period of time. And you have to just keep running and avoiding these things until the car shows up. And if the car shows up, you have to, like, run into it. And if you run into it, the screen goes all bug nuts crazy, and then you start over as a different member of Journey. Until you do it through all, I think, four members of Journey, you collect the car all four times, and then it's
Well, everybody has
over.
To get in you the win. Van. How are we going to get to the next gig if everybody's not in the van?
Yeah, I think... Oh, God, I wish I still had the instruction manual. Here it is. From the game's manual. You're on the road with Journey, one of the world's hottest rock groups. A spectacular performance has just ended. Now it's up to you to guide each Journey band member past hordes of love-crazed groupies, sneaky photographers, and shifty-eyed promoters to the safety of the Journey escape vehicle in time to make the next concert. The Your mighty band. Manager and loyal roadies are there to help, but the escape is up to you.
It sounds like a premise for a kind of subpar roller coaster at a Universal Studios.
Yeah, kind of.
That's two Aerosmith references in the last 15 minutes.
Journey Escape. I think we're on the right track here.
Isn't Aerosmith's roller coaster called Escape, too?
I don't know.
No, it's Rock and Roller Coaster.
It's a pretty dope roller coaster,
though.
Glad
you know that.
Not for nothing.
So, Journey Escape is my guilty pleasure because it is by no means a good game. And it is an unbelievably horrible premise for a game. It's very shitty.
to put it bluntly.
It's a shitty game no matter how you slice it.
Wait, I thought we weren't in the colon.
Calling it back.
Oh, wow.
Look at you.
That's a slow clap right there for you. Well, well done. Were I wearing a hat, I would be tipping it to you right now. But yes, it's a crappy game about Journey for the Atari, and my sister and I used to play the shit out of this game, because it's bad on every conceivable level. It's awful, but I freaking love it, and I just the joy that came from my life the first time I heard the actual song "Don't Stop Believin'."
You were like, "Holy shit, they're playing like real chiptune music on the radio." And they made words.
I had found out at a certain point that Journey was a band, you know, because I reading the instruction manual, I just thought it was some made up shit. And then I was like, oh, well, it's a real band. And then one day I heard the song on the radio. I was like, it's the song from the beginning of Journey Escape. And they were like, no, it's the song.
No, it's actually like one of the most popular songs ever written.
It's not for nothing's from Journey Escape.
Nothing. Nothing.
Sadness and sorrow is from Journey Escape.
So wait, you said I'm really curious. The happy manager, happy face. Mm-hmm. Is it anything like Robotron? Like, isn't that the game with the happy face, like the smiling face that comes to kill you?
Oh, that's Berserk. You're thinking
Berserk. Sorry.
Auto.
Yeah.
No, because this thing has legs.
Well, geez. Right, naturally. A happy face with legs, because that won't give you goddamn nightmares.
More nightmare fuel.
It's really, really creepy looking. I gotta find a picture of it. Oh my god. I have to
Please
get you guys
don't.
A picture of it.
I don't want nightmares.
I have to see this now.
Because it's not like a round smiley face. It's more of a horizontal oval. And
right.
I'm just this is all
it's
coming
a lemon?
From memory.
It sounds it's, like a lemon.
It's more orange than a lemon, but it's shaped like a lemon.
Oh,
and then it's got like red,
well, no.
red pants on or something.
What a great question! Is it a lemon? It sounds like a lemon. It's like a bad win, lose, or draw. It's a lemon. It's a lemon. Lemon. It's a lemon.
Wow. Okay, I just found the picture. I'm going to put it in the chat. This is actually all of the different things that are in the game. And the Mighty Manager, I thought it was the Happy Manager. The Mighty Manager.
Well, of course.
He actually kind of looks like Kool-Aid Man from the Kool-Aid Man Atari 2600.
They reused the sprite.
I'm looking at it in Google Images, and it's just page after page of the cover. Apparently nobody ever like actually played it to get a picture of it.
Oh my god. Oh, it's terrifying. It's like an orange, but...
Yeah, that's a lemon.
No, it's a carrot.
It's a lemon with
a
hat.
It's a squished carrot.
And they're the loyal roadies. They aren't groupies. They said love-crazed groupies. That's right, and those things were a pain in the ass because they moved all diagonal and stuff. And the photographers, which are just look like eggs, I don't know what that's all about.
No, they're flash bulbs.
Flash bulbs, there it is.
That
and they
is
would
the
flash.
Most accurate pixelated representation of Steve Perry I've ever seen. That is dead on balls accurate.
Dead on balls accurate.
What are the are the photographers eggs in a Jeep?
No,
I don't
we,
understand.
We
no, they're photo
eggs, eggs in a Jeep.
No, they're eggs in a Jeep, man. That's what it is.
Why is there a scarab? Is this concert
that's
in
the
Egypt?
Journey,
that's
the Journey
car.
Logo.
That's the Journey car. If you look at the cover of Escape, that's the Journey mobile.
Why
sure.
did they drive a bug? A literal bug.
I don't know, because it's fucking space.
They were trying to evoke a Beatles vibe.
So anyway, there's my guilty pleasure, Journey Escape for Atari 2600.
I agree. It's you should feel very guilty about that.
I'm
not happy about it, and I didn't even play it.
I am surprised you were. I shouldn't be surprised that you were able to come up with something. But I think what I'm more surprised about is why does something like this exist? No wonder the video game industry collapsed. No fucking wonder.
Okay, I get where everything is going on all of these except the loyal roadie. Why does he have antenna?
Yeah, they're like weird robot creatures. I don't know
I guess because roadies carry Ghostbuster equipment. And,
yeah, I guess if you're on tour in space, you know, you would have robot roadies.
Like, and like, looking back on it,
them to be loyal. Like, yeah. Why would you be appreciative of that? They're just programmed to be loyal.
You know what?
You should just call them roadie.
The '80s, there was a lot of cocaine.
Looking back on this picture now, like,
yeah, use the joystick to thrust.
retroactively, the shifty-eyed promoter looks somewhat like Bryan Cranston in Breaking Bad.
Okay.
You see it? Like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Picking up what I'm putting down. Good to hear.
Yeah.
We got it.
This
hook.
Is. I don't. Man, like, they just made games out of anything, didn't they?
They really did. All right, Journey Escape for Atari 2600. It's my guilty pleasure because it will always make me smile whenever I hear that song coming out of an Atari. Just warms my heart. And that's going to pretty much do it for us. Boy, that was an experience, huh?
I blame it on Jess.
I'm so sorry.
I'm excited.
To thank Jess for coming on the show and making
you're welcome.
It even more of a shit show than it usually is. We appreciate it. It was actually really fun having you. Thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Anytime. Dean, you wanna do the usual?
Well, if you like the show and you'd like to check out any more of our links, remember to check out the show notes, which is listed right below our podcast on our website. It gives our links to anything with our iTunes stuff, all of our links for our emails, and whatever else we have going on for YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. So like I said, if you do want to check anything out, remember to check the show notes.
All right, well, on behalf of the rest of the crew here at Stone Age Gamer, thanks everybody for listening, and make sure you tune in next week for wrestling games. It's going
to
make Dan
so
very happy.
Goddamn excited about this episode coming up.
I'm not thrilled.
Woohoo. Woohoo. Motherfucker.
I'm high-fiving Dan on this. I'm pretty excited for us.
Yeah, no, I'm stoked.
Wear your luchador mask and put on a leotard.
Actually,
they don't wear leotards.
Yes, they do.
Damn it, Chris. They're wrestling tights. Sometimes a singlet.
I'm going to be rolling my eyes for most of that podcast, but that's not going to translate well to audio. I'll try to come up with some sort of a like sound bite for eye rolling.
What, just, ugh. All right. Ugh.
Well, on that note, good night, everybody.
Did you guys play Angry Birds Argo?
Do you get to fling little Ben Afflecks at Middle Eastern countries? Because I'm kind of all about that. So.
Yeah, it's great. I love
it. Sweet. Just
little bearded birds. And well, John Goodman's. And...
is he like the big black bird?
No, he's the big pink one. He gets bigger.
Yeah, as he goes from Roseanne to...
I was going to say you fling him and he becomes Dan Connor. It's cute.
Well, that's the thing. It's The Sims wrapped up in the cutest package possible.
No, because you can't marry the neighbors.
No, but the thing is, like, it's a more... Jesus that Christ, Jess.
Certainly would be.
I think we need to start calling her Soundbite Jessie. That's your new cowgirl name.
Chris, does it really grind your gears?
It does. Does it chap your ass?
It chaps my ass. It grinds my gears. It's a bunch of fucking malarkey is what it is. And I'm not okay with it.
Does it grind your ass?
What? Does it malarkey your ass?
Got a bunch of cogs on his ass.
It chaps my gears, I'll tell you that for free.
That sounds dangerous.
Hornswoggle.
That's a midget wrestler.
What? Really?
I mean, for Christ's sake, sir, be a goddamn professional.
There are man children listening to this.
There are giant man children listening to this show.
There are giant men children on this show.